Welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. Today's episode is all about hope in neuroplasticity and the new research and technologies in rehabilitation. We have Dr. Jeremy Schmo here from the Functional Neurology Center. And what I'm most excited about in this episode is whether you just had a brain injury or if you are years or decades out from your injury, you are going to be able to be encouraged by the way that the future is going for brain injury. The future is bright. The concussion protocol is continually evolving. There is new research available. There are new technologies. And today, Dr. Schmo is just going to share some examples of some of what he's used in his practice, as well as other things that he's become aware of within the field of rehab. So stay tuned. This is an exciting and really encouraging episode to know that there is so much hope for people to continue to get better after brain injury.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did. And that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Before we get into today's interview, I just want to address last week's episode, which was all about the TBI Act and the reauthorization efforts and how we can get involved in advocacy. And I shared a little bit about my trip to Washington, D.C. Thank you guys so much for listening and your response. I got a lot of emails and questions about how you can get involved and contact your member of Congress for the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force. We need as much help as we can get and as many voices as we can get together to help get this legislation passed to help people with brain injuries. And so again, if you have questions about that, feel free to send me an email. I am sorry last week's episode. Again, I was so exhausted, but I really wanted to get it out in a timely manner. And so I'm still tired, actually. I kind of overestimated my ability to handle everything that had to get done this week with the recovery, limited cognitive energy that I had from the trip, but I'm managing, you know, one day, one moment at a time. So that's part of the journey with brain injury, right? It's ups and downs. And I just want to encourage you guys that if you feel like you're taking on too much, remember, deep breaths. Evaluate, prioritize. If there's something you can pull off your plate, pull it off. And that's, you know, what you can do. So, thank you guys for being here. Hope Survives Season 3. I have also just really enjoyed being back and doing this podcast again. It is exciting and it's invigorating. And it just reminded me of my passion to be part of what is happening in the brain injury community. And so I hope that these episodes are a help to you. If there are any specific topics you want to hear, send me an email. If there's any guests that you would like to hear, if you want to share your story, if you have a practitioner that you know of, just let me know. I'd love to consider any and all requests for the podcast moving forward, because I view us as a community. I view us as a Hope After Head Injury family, especially our Zoom members. If you've never been to a Zoom, you should come to our next one in April. We meet once a month always, and so it would be great to meet you on there. All right, so All that being said, let's get into today's interview. So today we're interviewing Dr. Jeremy Schmo, who is the director and founder of the Functional Neurology Center. He's been working for the past 15 years with patients with complex neurological dysfunction. He manages patients from all over the country, as well as international. He's treated thousands of patients with head injuries, vertigo, dysautonomia, dizziness, movement disorders, and he treats patients of all ages, neurodegenerative, all sorts of things. He really enjoys seeing complex cases that integrate neuro rehab, manual therapy, lab work, and nutrition. He's completed extensive postgraduate training in functional neurology, neuroimmunology, and functional medicine. So you can read a lot more about his bio here on his website, thefnc.com. I was just reading a little bit of that for you before we get in. He's also been on the podcast before in some previous episodes, so you guys have heard him share before, and he also is a practitioner that I have gone to see personally. So we're going to talk a little bit about my treatments today as well, and I'm just an open book, so to be able to help you guys, because I spent over a decade not knowing about the research that was available, and I'm so passionate about everybody knowing that your brain can heal. So I'm really excited about today's conversation. Don't forget to sign up for the Hope After Head Injury Zoom group at hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. You can also find info on the Brain Injury Bible Study group if you're interested. I'd love to see you on Zoom. So let's get into the interview. Today, I'm so excited to welcome back Dr. Jeremy Schmo from the Functional Neurology Center to Hope Survives podcast. Welcome back, Dr. Schmo.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, so glad to have you back. And for Brain Injury Awareness Month, we are going to be talking about how there is hope for new treatments and new research that is always coming out for brain injury. And so one of the things that I think is very, very prevalent in brain injury survivors is you get your injury, you go through your initial rehab, your treatment, maybe you do it for a year, maybe you do it for a couple months, but then at some point you're just kind of like discharged because insurance won't pay for it anymore. You're just kind of like sent out into the wild and just expected to kind of live with it. And I found that, like, in my story, that to be true. Like, I just thought that I was never going to be able to get better. And 11 years after my TBI, I met Dr. Schmo, and my entire trajectory of my recovery changed, because from when my injury first happened in 2007 to 2019, when I first saw Dr. Schmo, the research had changed, but I didn't know. So the point of this podcast is to share some of that new research and help you guys to know that there are other treatment options available no matter how far out you are from your injury.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was just thinking about when we were talking about what we're going to talk about today. I had a patient recently that came to see me like 40 years after an accident where they had flipped an ATV. And she had all these changes that were occurring in her eye movements. And we were still able to make changes 40 years after this injury. So the brain's plastic in the way that it can adapt. And if you give it the right type of stimulation, you can get the system to integrate. So we always talk about the brain needs good fuel delivery. So that means good nutrition. So you have to have good gut health. You can't be inflamed. So your neurons want to be stable. And then they need magnesium status, micronutrient status. So basically good, healthy nutrition helps your neurons function well, but then you also need activation. So you need to have good stimulation that's coming into the brain, and you can stimulate the brain in a wide variety of ways, whether that's with eye training or vestibular work, and we'll kind of go through what that means, or manual therapy, or sound frequency stimulation, or emotional work. That's why to get people better, you need a whole team of people or a wide variety of different sensory stimulations to activate the brain to get it to function better and build plasticity. So you have to have a good solid base of, you can't be inflamed. You need the good activation. You need that good oxygenation. So you have to have good breathing mechanics. The brainstem needs to be functioning well. So you need these things put in place for the brain to integrate. And then that's where the magic happens, where you're getting all of the right things and you start building that function. And you can make improvements to symptoms like dizziness and vertigo and autonomic dysfunction and balance issues years later. You have to just look at everything with that individual and try and find all the missing pieces of the puzzle and put it all together for people.
Yeah. And that's what's so unique about what you do, because I had seen so many different doctors and therapies, and they were all like, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, and like every day I was struggling every day, but you know, you couldn't see it on the outside. And I was like, sort of getting by. But mm-hmm. as you discovered, my right knee didn't have an active reflex. And yeah. so I had sprained my knee. And then, you know, I had just been constantly struggling. And in the 5-day intensive we did, you were able to return my right knee reflex, and it's been there ever since. And yeah. so do you want to talk a little bit about like that nerve stimulation, or like
yeah.
why do reflexes get impacted by brain injury? And like, because I try to explain to people what you did and I don't fully understand it. So
yeah, so when you really break it down, and in functional neurology, we always talk about, you know, one of the constants in our environment is gravity. And human beings just want to know where their body is in space. So you want to know where your head is in relationship to where your spine is and where you are in relationship to everything around you. And that's like kind of a constant theme that we talk about. And your brain is integrating this multi-sensory environment of getting good feedback from your muscles. Your whole visual system plays a role. Your vestibular system plays a role in how you perceive where you are in space. And then that stimulation comes up, it hits the cerebellum, goes up into the brain to help you build a good, accurate map of where your body is in space. And then your brain fires all of these patterns of stability down your spine and mechanisms to fire your legs reflexively, so you don't just fall over as you're walking around. So those reflexes and these reflexogenic systems get off with brain injury. Why? Because the force enters in and it loves to affect midline areas in the cerebellum, midline areas in the brainstem. And that's where the reflexive systems happen to help you just get good blood flow up to your head, to your gut, and allow you to be able to walk and be stable and know where you are in space. So we go back to the basics of, do you know where you are? And then we're going to do different therapies to try and stimulate the brain to improve that function. And if you can make that happen, you'll see things like your bicep reflex comes back. It wasn't a nerve issue. It was actually that the brain firing down to that just wasn't integrating. Or we'll get a patellar reflex back because it was actually an issue with the vestibulospinal reflexes firing down. And you might have had a balance issue or a vestibular issue. And you just, your brain wasn't reflexively firing down to stabilize your leg. So when you're walking around, you might have felt, hey, you know, my legs feel like jello, or I feel like I'm walking in sand, or it doesn't feel like I know where I'm placing my foot when I'm stepping. Okay. And then that basically equals you're not absorbing force appropriately in your environment. And then you start to break down. So your leg might hurt, or your low back might hurt, or the force is entering into your shoulder, into your neck because of a brain mechanism. So the brain not reflexively firing these patterns. And if people are just working on a shoulder or just your knee or just the neck, they might be missing the fact that there are some issues that are happening with the brain. And that's kind of where we come in, where we're going to look at things neurologically in terms of what's happening with your visual vestibular integration, and then also what's happening with you structurally. And what's happening with your autonomic system. I know in the brain injury world, people talk about the fight or flight reflexes and your sympathetic and, you know, parasympathetic system. Those systems get off because of the force that entered into areas of the brain that modulate that system. So now you're in a state of fight or flight, like overly sympathetic dominant, you know, higher resting heart rate. Things might trigger you more easily. You might have issues with your limbic system where you get more, you know, over emotional when you're like, I wouldn't have got emotional about that in the past. But it's not really you, it's your brain. And things are just happening reflexively And a lot of people's, you know, spouses and significant others don't understand that. So it's like, you know, what's going on with this person? But really, it's just reflexively just happening.
Yeah. And it feels like chaos. It feels like utter chaos in your mind.
Your brain's just all over the place.
And it's so hard to get to the root cause, because it's like every step that I take, I feel like I'm on a boat, or I feel like I'm just like, you know, it's just off, and it's hard to explain. And I would always say, like, I just feel off, or I would just feel lightheaded all the time, or I couldn't exercise because I had this exercise intolerance, but I just thought I was out of shape because I had headaches all the time. And, you know, it's just like everything compounds on each other, and it's extremely overwhelming. And I'm sure some of the survivors listening today are like, yeah, I'm overwhelmed all the time. So what would you say to bring hope to someone who feels like, you know, I just feel like every single part of me is just kind of in chaos right now, and I don't know what to do?
Yeah. So I always like to talk about, it's just your batteries getting drained. And a lot of the rehab that people do are on specific individual systems, but the system works as a whole. So you have to work on everything together. So if you can get all the pieces put in play about what's actually going on, whether there's an issue with getting blood flow throughout the body appropriately, your autonomic system, or a visual vestibular integration issue, if you can get precise and get specific, you can bring stability back to these lower areas in the brainstem. And that allows you to get good fuel delivery up into your brain. So now your brain's not just going to be all over the place. So a lot of the rehab that people do are just individual systems, but it's not working on the system integrated as a whole. Therefore, the next thing you know, you've seen 10 different people, and that's confusing for you. It's confusing for your family. People start to think that you're making things up, or really that it's really not an actual problem. It's more of like a functional problem. But we really just have to look at the system integrated as a whole, and you can figure these things out with people. And then if you look at every individual thing and you start pecking away at, all right, we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, then you can work it up. You can get your system more stable. You get better energy delivery to your frontal lobe. And then you're not going to feel like mentally, emotionally, limbically, that your system's all over the place. So you really can pull it all together for people. You just have to really understand what you're doing and put it all together. And then I always tell people too, there is a mental health component to this, because it is depressing if you're not getting better and you're seeing a lot of different people. All right. So it is important to work with mental health professionals and other things. And a lot of people that come to see us have already done EMDR, CBT, neurofeedback, mental emotional work, but people haven't done a really good, solid functional exam to actually figure out what the root cause is. If you can figure out what that root cause is, whether it's more autonomic or more visual vestibular or pain based from the neck, then you can get to that root cause and you can figure things out for people. So I really believe that you can dig deep and you can figure these things out in more complex cases and get people better.
Yeah. And that's so important. I really love how you're explaining, so many people end up in all these different pieces. So I, for example, before I had seen you, I had gone to vestibular therapy and all they were doing was vestibular therapy. Now they were not even addressing the reflex issues or any of the other stuff. And so they would have me like stand on this ball and try and like catch a ball thrown at me. And like, you know, I'd have to walk down the hallway and move my head and move my neck. And they were basically like trying to like habituate me into these, the exercises. And there's a place for that. And it works for some people. But for me, my root cause, it was not treating my root cause, because I had yet to be diagnosed with dysautonomia. And I had yet to find out some of the other vision issues. My eyes weren't working together. So of course, you know, I'm going to feel terrible while I'm doing it. And I would end the therapy, vestibular therapy, and I'd have to sit and rest in the middle. And then I would end it and I would go home and I couldn't do anything else the rest of the day. I just felt like terrible. Yeah. And so, you know, I want you guys to hear what Dr. Schmo is saying. Like, if you feel like I've been doing like, this is my sixth round of vestibular therapy and I'm still not better, well, maybe there's something else going on. And that's what I want to try and encourage our listeners on here today, because there is research that has not made it into practice yet in the general like hospitals, but there are concussion specialists out there and functional neurologists out there that know about some of the new research that's coming out. And what continually happens in our Zoom support group is people will be like, well, I have to wait 6 months to see a neurologist. And they only see a neurologist who all they do is prescribe a headache medication. And then you're just like left in pain all the time and confused and overwhelmed. And so I brought Dr. Schmo on here because my life changed once I was able to learn what the root cause of my residual symptoms from my brain injuries were and was able to address them specifically. So we did things like you used the VNG goggles and tracked my eye movements and figured out what was going on. My eyes were moving in the dark and they were not working together right. You were able to use the gyrostim and do some therapy with that. I also had COVID, which caused long COVID, which caused it brought flares up on my concussion. So we did like a soft chamber HBOT. You did the nerve stimulation down like the side of my legs and arms and in the face and on the tongue, and just some things to really help my brain learn how to fire back a bit better. And so do you want to kind of go over some of those things you did with me, as well as some of the newer treatments that are available and how they can help people with brain injuries?
Sure. Well, yeah, first up, one of the things that I wanted to mention is there are some really amazing changes that are happening in the rehabilitation world. Like, I just presented this last week in San Diego at the International Sports Vision Association conference to like 150 neurooptometrists. So there are like smaller groups in these individual professions that are really starting to pull everything together. So there's hope for people down the road where you don't have to just find this very precise person in Minnesota or this location or that location. There are some awesome groups that are really taking vestibular training to the next level, that like really highly trained neurovestibular physical therapists. All right. Really highly trained neurooptometrists that are integrating and doing concussion rehabilitation. And you have really good trained chiropractic functional neurologists. So I think the future is just going to be like this blend of these providers that are super highly trained. And then it's just going to start trickling down to your general, you know, general chiropractor, your general physical therapist, your general, you know, vision therapist, or your general optometrist. It's just going to take time. But I really think that everything is moving in the right direction, from what I've seen, especially since COVID. You know, people are just trying to like go back to the books and really try and pull everything together for people. So I do believe there's hope for patients that there are going to be, it's going to be easier to find people to help you get better. Okay.
Yeah. That brings so much hope right there. Like, let's just pause and enjoy that moment like that, you know, and even now in 2024, where I'm coming up on at the end of this year, I just passed 60. Oh gosh, it's been so long since I had my first brain injury. 16 years since I had my TBI. And the research that's available now is just crazy compared to. So like already, if somebody were to get the same brain injury that I got in 2007 today, they would already be on a better trajectory. So for those who just got injured, just know like you're already on a better trajectory than I ever was or anyone in the early 2000s or 2010s. And so the future is bright for brain injury recovery.
The future is bright. I mean, there was a new 2022 concussion consensus in Amsterdam, and then a 2023 consensus in Ireland. And really, it's moving into more active rehabilitation. So there's no more just sitting around, not doing anything. It's active rehabilitation. It's getting specific cardiovascular training. It's doing specific visual vestibular integration. Manual therapy was put into the mix. So people are working on people's cervical spines in the beginning. So I'll just give you one example. I saw this kid. So I was given a presentation this last weekend. I get a message from a parent that my son just got smoked playing hockey. And that was on Friday. I said, all right, he's going to rest 2 days. I'm going to see him on Monday. On Monday, he came in and he could barely stand there with his eyes closed, and he was just falling everywhere. And now yesterday, Thursday, and I'll see him again later today, we had this kid pretty much perfectly steady. His dizziness, which was at a 10 out of 10, is now at like a 3 or 4 in 3 days. But if he would have just sat in a dark room, he wouldn't be where he's at right now. So it's active rehabilitation. And we also noted that he had crystals loose in his inner ear when he got hit. So basically somebody cross-checked him posterior, whiplash his neck, kicked crystals loose in his inner ear. So he had BPPV. And they've done there was like a newer research study where 21% of patients, and I think it was like 150 patients, and it was either Sweden or Norway, developed BPPV, which is positional vertigo, like crystals getting hit loose with trauma to the head. That's a really high number. And it wasn't found out until 4 to 6 weeks later that the cause of their dizziness was having these crystals loose.
That's amazing. And you brought up a really good point that the concussion protocol has changed.
Yes.
I forget, when did it change? Was it last year or the year before?
Well, I mean, it's always been evolving and changing.
Now it's very well known, hopefully you're not still being told to sit in a dark room, but many years, like even just 5 years ago, that was what you were told. And there might still be doctors out there practicing, just go rest. I'm sure there are. Rest and sit in a dark room. But now the research has shown us, and we know that, like, is it symptom limited activity, right? And like, I don't know what the terminology is, but you need to be able to do some sort of active recovery.
It's graded cardiovascular training. It's working on the cervical spine with manual therapy. It's looking at the visual vestibular system right away. It's looking at heart rate, blood pressure, lying, seated, standing. It's thinking about the autonomic system. And I mean, in the future, I mean, they're going to be able to, at the sideline, do like a salivary analysis and look at markers in your saliva, which they're working on that now to show that you've had a concussion. And even looking at the biomarkers show that if you're going to be somebody that might move into more of a persistent concussion symptomatology. So like, things are always evolving. So we have to have hope that, you know, we're going to be able to, people are going to be able to pull all this together and actually be able to clinically do it. But my point with, you know, talking about this individual is that if I wouldn't have assessed him for BPPV, he would still be at a 10 out of 10 dizziness. So it's seeing people sooner after these injuries and checking them out and trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, and then developing very specific rehabilitation protocols. And that just speeds the recovery up. And now I'll be working with his athletic trainer and making sure that, you know, everything's going appropriately to get him back into a graded return to learn. And then also, you know, eventually return to play if that's something that, you know, him and his parents do want to do. And I never push people in either direction. It's, you know, but I will give them my educated opinion on what I think needs to be done based off of the mechanism of injury and like how complex it is. So there's people that are out there that know this stuff that can really help people after head injury and concussion make the appropriate decision on, do you need to get back in, or do you need to sit out longer, or, you know, this looks like it's a more severe vestibular problem. And I'm going to go through some of the technologies that we use now and then some of the newer stuff. So with you, we looked at your gait, we looked at your balance, we graphed your balance out with some technology like platform posturography. We did a video oculography where you put these goggles on and we graphed your eye movements out. And it's really important to see what the eyes are doing in the dark when you can't see anything. So for you, I mean, your eyes were just drifting and moving, and you had a vertical nystagmus pattern where that's why you felt like you were rocking on a boat, because your brain didn't know where you were, because some of the areas of your brain weren't firing appropriately to keep your eyes steady. So therefore, if you were trying to progress through vision therapy and physical therapy, but just sitting there stable, you still felt like you were rocking, we need to get you to feel more stable first. So a good test I always tell people is just close your eyes and just sit here. And if you feel like you're moving and going like this, take your fingers, and just feel on your eyelids and actually feel if it feels like your eyeballs are drifting underneath your eyelids. If they feel like your eyeballs are drifting underneath your eyelids and you close your eyes and you feel like you're really moving, then you probably have some form of resting changes in the mechanisms of your vestibular system, central vestibular system, not just the ear, to let you know where your body is in space. That could be the problem of why you're not progressing through other types of therapies, because you don't have that good solid foundational base. And those nuclei that let you know where you are really intimately tied with your autonomic nervous system. So if all day long you feel like you're doing this, you are going to progressively over time start to develop more autonomic dysfunction. All right, because it's draining on your battery to feel like you have motion and you have movement 24/7, even when you're sleeping. Okay, so that's why we like to do the VOG and look at your eyes to see if they look like they're steady or not.
Can I just say real quick what you just said? You said it's draining on your body to feel that way all the time. So can that contribute to people what they call neuro fatigue and cognitive fatigue and like that 100%. Constant fatigue? Like maybe it's not coming from you actually being tired, but maybe your brain's just on overdrive.
Yeah, your brain's on overdrive. The mechanisms are working too hard. It's draining your battery. It's leading to autonomic changes, and that is leading to your neurological fatigue.
Yeah. It's important to know fatigue is not a root cause, that there's something that's causing your fatigue and tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Continue.
Oh, no problem. You know, and then we want to look at all your eye movements out of the dark as well. So we want to look at the ability of your eyes to converge and diverge, look at your accommodation, look at your gaze holding. Can you follow targets? Can you move your eyes quickly? Can you tolerate motion? You know, good muscle testing, looking at the structure of the neck. We have some very cool new technology from Iceland. It's called Neck Care, where it's this little goniometer. And we didn't have this when you were here, but this goniometer and like wraps around the head. And then we can map out your joint position sense of your neck to the T, look at all the range of motion, look and screen for hypermobility. Sometimes people's necks are just, they have too much motion and they're unstable. And then you're getting manual care and maybe developing even more instability in some situations. So, and then it has this patented butterfly test where this dot moves on the screen. Think of it as like a VOG for your neck, where we can map out all your head and neck motion and see if your neck motions are jerky. It's so cool. So now we're doing all this more testing specifically with the neck. And then we've even have this new device coming. It's from C-Lite Technologies. It's called the ReadyTrack, where we can actually, it's called laser guided ophthalmoscopy, where we can look at the back of your retina. And a lot of the other eye technologies look at the pupil and look at the front of the eye. We'll be able to look at the back of the eye to 0.1 degrees and see if there's any motion or instability at the back of the eye. So if at the bedside, you're looking at the front of the eye and you're like, I don't know, you know, it looks really good. You put people on goggles, you graft their eyes out and you go, man, that looked really good. And the person goes to you, something still feels weird. Like I feel off or like my eyes feel jerky. We're going to be able to map out that like to the T what's happening at the back of the eye. All right. So I think we're going to be one of the first functional neurology clinics in the world that has this technology. And it takes 10 seconds on each eye, and then it pumps out an amazing report on if your eyes are actually drifting, or if they have like an ocular tremor, or if they have little square wave jerk motions, and then it can map out all your quick eye movements. And then based off of that eye movement, we could say, you know, that eye movement is probably not something from concussion. You know, you might have Lyme or mold or an underlying infection even prior to getting your concussion because you had more of like an ocular tremor, which could be more metabolic in nature. So one of the things I wanted to bring up is sometimes people have underlying things that are going on that are preventing them from getting better from their head injury. All right. In our office, we really dig into that to try and figure that out for people. So now it's Lyme, it's infections, it's gut infections, it's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, mold is huge, long haul COVID. These chronic inflammatory issues are inflaming the areas of the brain that got injured. and it's perpetuating the cycle of not being able to get better. And we're going to be able to, with technology of looking at eye movements, give you a good idea if that might be something that's going on. And then we can go in and we can order the most, you know, specific labs that we think we need to order, whether that's test for antibodies for chronic Lyme, or look at doing like a mold urinalysis. So that's where the technology is going. I mean, it's amazing.
It's so cool. I love just how technology is being able to help understand brain injuries and treat brain injuries now. Things that would not have been dreamed of 15 years ago are now a reality. And it's pretty amazing to see. And I hope that as you guys are listening, that brings you hope that, you know, there are ways to identify what's going on with you and how to get better. And so can you talk a little bit more about some of the other things you did with me? I know people always have questions about the gyrostim, which you have to explain what it is if they're not sure what it is, as well as you're using the soft chamber HBOT to help as well. Can you talk? I did both of those treatments with you. Sure. So can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah. So, you know, we want to do that very precise exam, figure out what's going on, because then we can develop the perfect recipe for what you need to get better. And that usually involves doing some sort of eye strategies and then also very specific vestibular work. So say, for example, if we saw that your eyes were drifting up and then like coming down, we have a device. It's called the gyrostim chair. It's a multi-axis rotational chair. And don't be afraid of it, because we're not just going to put people in there and just whip them all over the place when it's inappropriate or if their neck is unstable.
And you say multi-axis, a rotational chair, it spins you around. I'm just explaining it for those who are listening and not. So the video's on YouTube, but the audio, some people listen while they're doing other things on the podcast. So it's spinny. He's using his hands to show that it spins. So I'm just clarifying for those listening that it's a spinny chair.
It's a spinny chair. So
upside down, sideways, inside out.
Side to side. If we don't think that you can handle going upside down, though, like, we're not going to just flip you upside down. A lot of times we're putting people in the chair and we're just doing little oscillation movements where we're like turning them a little quicker to the left, a little slower to the right. We're tilting you maybe a little quicker forward, slower backwards. All right. Or we might be moving you very slow and you have a laser pointer and we want to work on your cognition and your memory and your dual tasking. We might be moving you around and then we have some laser targets around where you have to hit those targets. So you don't have to be afraid of the chair. We're not going to make people sick in there. We're going to get very precise with what you need. And it's been very, very beneficial with people with dizziness and balance. And it received an FDA clearance for ages, I believe it was like 18 to 60 or 65 for patients with dizziness and balance issues. And it actually received a breakthrough medical device clearance through the FDA for being a breakthrough vestibular technology. And that was a couple years ago. So it's moving in the right direction to get, you know, more approval through the FDA. And it's taken a long time. But clinically, we've been using it since 2017. And I've been using it at other clinics since, I believe, like 2013. And getting really, really good results with patients with chronic dizziness, vertigo, balance issues, dysautonomia, post-concussion. So that's one of the things that we use. Another new technology is we have this, it's a virtual reality 360 motion platform. Think of it as a gyrostim more for your legs and your body. So we can put you on this device and start tilting you and moving you and reflexively fire the connections of the brain down to your legs and feet to help your gait, your balance, and your posture. So I'll give you one example. I was working on a really high level USA Olympic ice dancer. And her partner was like spinning her, doing some crazy move, and then just dropped her right on her back. It was 3 or 4 months after her concussion. And she just felt like just a little off. I put her on flat versus foam and check her balance. It looks really good. We put her on the VR motion platform and we start tilting her. So her body has to fire these stability reflexes and she almost collapses. So just imagine if you put somebody out there and they're trying to like land, they're going to hurt their knee or they're going to hurt their leg or tear an ACL. And that's what some of the research is showing, is that people get lower extremity injuries after concussion and trauma if you don't rehabilitate those reflexes appropriately. So that's one of the new technologies that we added in.
I love that. And you had the virtual reality goggles when I was there. And I remember you put me in the VR goggles and you just put me on an elevator virtually. And it messed me up.
It messed you up
because I was like nauseous the whole rest of the day. I went to sleep and then I woke up the next day and I was still a little off. Like that feeling was one of the worst feelings I've ever felt ever. It was so bad. But you know, you said to me, is actually a good thing because so what that revealed is it confirmed what you saw on the goggles with my eye movements, and it was vertical eye movement motion that was causing my vestibular system to get off. So I wasn't moved. My body didn't move. It was just in the VR goggles. It was just the perception of going up and down an elevator, and I like almost vomited. Like it was it was horrible. I felt I was out of it for hours. It was so bad. But it's now, good because
able to figure it out and then fix it.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I can now go on an escalator. I can go on an elevator. I would always get triggered by the scrolling motion on my phone, the vertical scrolling. And I can scroll on my phone now for better or for worse without symptoms.
So, you know, so we're doing, you know, vision exercises, vestibular exercises. You know, we do some pretty cool like manual therapy and adjustments. We use we have this new device. It's called PEMF, pulse electromagnetic frequency. That's really helpful for pain, and we can do it on the neck. We can like activate your body. We do this. We use this device called ARP Wave. It's a type of direct current electric stim. We use that on you, and it is awesome for cervicogenic headaches, migraine, trigeminal pain like TMJ pain. I do some cranial work. We work on the TMJ a lot with people. You would be surprised on how much force enters the neck and into the face and jaw with some of these injuries. And a lot of times people come in and people haven't looked at their teeth. All right. So I do refer to dentists quite a bit just to make sure there aren't any little micro fractures through the teeth. And then we do some pretty innovative stuff on the trigeminal system and the jaw for headaches. So, and then we work on gait retraining, peripheral awareness, reaction time training, we do some hyperbaric oxygen, which just basically helps get better oxygenation and fuel delivery throughout your body to help heal your system. And there's many clinics out there that use, you know, soft chambers, hard chambers. And that's been really beneficial for people with dysautonomia and just getting better fuel delivery to their body by doing oxygen under pressure. And that diffuses the oxygenation into your blood plasma and helps it disperse better throughout the body to help heal neurons and get better blood flow. So the combination, it's the combination of these therapies. It's not just whipping somebody around in a chair. In fact, I believe that if you just did the gyrostim chair without doing everything else, that you could potentially make people worse. So it's trying to develop the specific recipe that that individual needs by hitting all the pieces of their exam that brings it all together. And then getting a good idea of what that person can handle and not pushing them past their limit too far to tank them into feeling way worse. All right. But you have to push people to a certain limit to get their system to adapt. And that does mean sometimes making people feel a little dizzy or a little nauseous or feel fatigued or tired. And that's what the brain needs to push it to get it to change. And a lot of times people are afraid of feeling that way. But when you're here, we're working with you one-on-one. And then we have technologies and things that we can do to make you feel better if we make you feel worse. All right. And then it's designing a very specific exercise program, cardiovascular training, body-based training, sleep management, maybe working with some other providers if we think you need neurofeedback or cognitive behavioral therapy or more nutrition work, and then your vision training, your vestibular work. So we try and pull all of that together and then make you self-sufficient so you can actually go do it on your own. Because I know that people have a hard time, first of all, making it to appointments, driving to five or six different people, right? People feel crappy in the car. So you go to these places, you do your stuff, and then it's almost like it just got erased, because then you have to drive back another hour to get back to where you live. So that's the beauty of the intensive program, is trying to figure out all the pieces of the puzzle for people and then actually designing that good program of what you can go do at home.
Yeah. And that's what I like, what helped me a lot. Like I flew out and I did intensive with you, a couple of times. But that's only because I got another concussion. So the first, I came out
fell
the first time.
Down the stairs, right?
Yeah. Yep. And it's only because I wore socks on the stairs, because I'm stupid, because I was feeling so much better. Then I kind of like let my guard down and I slipped, like anyone can do. But, it was just terrible. It was just bad. It was just bad. Bad situation. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, a lot of the things that you had fixed in my, like my reflexes stayed, but my vision got knocked off in a different way and things like that. And so the thing about brain injury is, you know, it's a journey, and there are, you know, you're going to have re-injuries. COVID can affect it. Like you said, like Lyme or mold, or there could be a lot of other underlying things. And I don't want to gloss over what you said about nutrition either, because inflammation is really a big issue. And I tell people this all the time. I probably mention it on the podcast a lot and at the sport groups, but you were the one who first told me, like, you should try going gluten-free. And ever since I went gluten-free, I'm off all migraine medications. Like, I don't need migraine medication anymore, because it was never working to begin with, because I never really had migraines. But reduced, like, cutting gluten out of my diet changed my life and how my brain felt. And so there are a lot of things you can do.
We can test all that stuff with people. Yeah, we do this new test now. It's from this company called 3x4 Genetics, where we just do like a cheek swab, and we can map out whether you have issues with, you know, getting good B12 into your system, whether you might have low glutathione status, whether you might be somebody that can't break histamine down, and then you get this histamine overload, and then that kicks you into headache and migraine, or even dizziness and vertigo, like vestibular migraine from having inflammation. So that's one of the cool panels that we run now. And I do that on like a lot of people that have dizziness and vertigo. And one of the things that you'll see is that they have high histamine load. And then that histamine load deregulates multiple different systems, and it can affect your autonomic system, cause vasoconstriction and decrease perfusion up to your head. So, you know, some people might have done like a POTS assessment or look for dysautonomia, and they're like borderline, and people go, "Yeah, I don't think that's what it is." And you're like, "Well, I felt horrible on that test, but I also feel horrible when I'm just sitting here too." And
I feel horrible all the time.
I feel horrible all the time. So if you feel horrible all the time, there's probably an autonomic mechanism, and high histamine load can be a major player.
That's so interesting.
So it's really cool to run that panel on people and see what comes back, or see that, you know, maybe you need to get better B vitamin status, lower that histamine, get better glutathione. It tells you what kind of exercise you should do that's going to be more beneficial for you based off of your genetics. So that's a new thing that we've been doing with people. Yeah. So some of the new things are, you know, more advanced eye tracking technology. Really using virtual reality in a cool way. I've added a ton of like really fun, low tech, visual exercises for people that are really fun, things that you can do at home that don't involve buying a bunch of stuff, getting more specific with people's metabolic function with looking at their genetics, and then getting very precise with what labs that we're running on people. And then we even have this new technology coming where literally it's a pair of glasses that have these little cameras on them, and we can map out your gaze when you're just doing things in everyday life. So we could have you just walk around and look at your eye movements and look at where your eyes are hitting without having advanced a pair of goggles or something. They're literally like a pair of glasses that you wear, which is really cool. So we could have you like hit the DynaVision machine and like work on your reaction times. And you might think that you're looking here, but you might be looking way over in a whole other different direction. Meaning
that's great.
Your maps of where your body perceives where you are and where you actually think your eyes are off. All right. So vision and vestibular integration is just so much more complex. And that's why we've added in these new technologies to help figure this out for people.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Shmo. I'm sure we could keep talking for hours about this stuff. But all that to say, if this episode brought up some questions for you, email me Christabel@hopeafterheadinjury.com if you have more questions for Dr. Shmo. And I'm sure he'd be welcome to come back on the podcast to answer some of those questions. And so feel free to reach out to me for the podcast at any time. And thank you for your time today. Are there any last words of hope that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, if you find a provider, you have to find somebody that can just pull all the pieces together. If you can get that appropriate person, like, you're going to make some sort of improvement. Like, I believe that every single person has the ability to build neuroplasticity. I've been doing this for 15 years now. And if you put all the pieces together, you can make improvements and changes. Even if some pathways are broken and they're just not going to get better due to severe damage, you can upregulate other pathways and get them to function better. So you have to be realistic with patients. You know, if something's broken, you got to try and make a hack and like go and make something else work better. And I think that you can always make improvements. And especially if people haven't told you about the dietary and inflammatory things that you can do, you're going to get better just from doing that. So there's definitely hope for people, and you just got to be able to pull it all together. You know, if people want to reach out, they can go to our website. It's just thefnc.com. F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, fnc.com. We have tons of educational information on our website, and you can follow us on Facebook. We just made a bunch of new clinic videos, and we just moved to a new office too. And it's really cool. It's beautiful. We have every technology that you can imagine, and also places for patients to actually hang out in between their intensive visits, which is great. So there's definitely hope for people, and look forward to coming on here and doing this again at some other time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shmo. This has been great. And I highly recommend reach out to thefnc.com. I wanted to make sure to share that you do free consultations, right? To help people, so you can call and see if it could be a good fit for you. But like he said, there's so much new research, and there are so many concussion providers out there now that are able to do these things and able to help you get better. So whether you're one day, 1 month, 1 year, or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, even 40 years out from your brain injury, there's always hope to improve. Don't ever feel like you have reached the end and you're never going to get better, because that's not true. And the science backs that up.
For sure.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, and would love for you to consider leaving us a rating or a review. Check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. We have support groups. We have Zoom groups. There's always something going on. So I hope to meet you on there. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.